This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs. My name is Gareth Armstrong. It's good to be with you this afternoon. And yes, it's that time of the week. It's Future CEOs time. What does that really mean? Well, if you can answer yes to the question, are you a future CEO? Well, then this is the show for you. Perhaps you are sitting in an office somewhere and you're looking outside and down the hall there is a corner office that you want to own, want to look after, want to sit in. Well, then this is the show for you, because I can tell you're a future CEO. Or perhaps you are owning and running your own business. You want that business to grow. You want that business to turn into something fantastic, something large, something perhaps even international. Well, then this is the show for you. Sam, you're nodding a little bit. I can hear you through the headphones just going, yes. Is that what you want to do with your business? Turn it into something big, international even?
That's correct. Good afternoon, Gareth. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that's what we want to do with our business, to make it big, bigger than what it is now. Yes,
bigger than what it is now. But yeah, you're an award-winning business. We'll get into that in just a moment. Sam, just quickly introduce who you are to our future CEO listeners, please.
Okay, my name is Sam Molefe. I'm from a company called Moody Mining. I'm actually a mining engineer by background. I've started mining at Vest Tech. I think now it's called UJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been in the mining industry for the past 22 years.
Okay.
And then the last six years I was in business, I'm in business doing mining. We're doing contract mining as Moody Mining.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said 20 years in mining.
Yes.
Originally a mining engineer.
Yes.
Where did you start?
I started my career with Goldfields. It's a global company where I was recruited as a bazaar. I applied for bazaaring to study in tertiary. So we were trained through Goldfields practically and then theoretically through Vest Technicon.
Didn't Goldfields get bought out by Harmony and a couple of others at one point? Is that right?
Yeah. No, look, what happened is Goldfield sold out some of its mines.
Okay.
And then it remained with South Deep.
Oh, yes.
And then the others are now called Sibanye Gold.
Yes, Sibanye Gold.
Yeah, that's
and
correct.
And Sibanye Gold's doing so well.
Very well, very well.
Do you regret leaving now that Sibanye is doing so well?
Not really. I actually look forward to going back there and provide them with a service.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Let's get into that then.
Yeah.
So, Moody Mining. You said that there's a translation to that name. It's a beautiful translation as well.
Yeah, Moody is actually a Setswana word for root. So, as you know, a root it goes deep and it actually anchors the tree. So we go deep in mining. Yeah, that's where we come from. We need to be significant in mining.
So you said that the business has been around for about 6 years.
Yeah, that's correct.
You're going along in your career, which is in mining, as a mining engineer, in some form or fashion. You're there at Goldfield. What made you decide then to break away from that? Because that can be quite a scary prospect, to step away from the security of a fixed salary and suddenly start doing stuff on your own.
Yeah, it actually happened a couple of years later. I had actually at the time left Goldfields. At the time, I think I was working for a Spanish company, but I was based in West Africa, in a country called Mali, as a project manager. So I had already registered a company at the time, Moody Mining, in 2007.
Okay, so it was on the cards. There was this entrepreneurial bug.
Yeah, exactly.
You just didn't know exactly where it was going to manifest, perhaps.
Yeah, look, I think it was triggered when I was outside South Africa.
Okay.
I was running a project there which was faced with logistical challenges. Mm. You know, infrastructure development is not as it is here out there. So, I took time to... I was alone there again. My family was behind here.
Oh, right.
So it gave me an opportunity to think and really, you know, solidify my dreams that, you know, this is the route I want to take. Mm. I want to go into business. I've got a registered company. I'm, you know, when I go back home, you know, fly in, fly out, when I go back home, I'm going to now focus on this business of mine.
Mm.
You know? And I will do it. You know, I'll do... So that I'll work hard to make sure that it succeeds, or we lift it off the ground. Yes.
Yeah. So I just think, how many of us are working really, really hard in other people's businesses, and that doesn't make quite quite as much sense as it should.
Yeah, but we need you, you know. We need hard workers.
Yeah, no, you're right. As a business owner, you do get to see the other side of the coin as well.
That's correct, yeah.
Am I correct in saying that what you did with Modi Mining then was that you scratched your own itch, as they say? So you saw a gap in the market, which was the logistical issues that you were facing.
Yeah.
Is that where you then decided to provide some skills or solution?
No, that's what propelled me to, you know what, go back home and do what you want to do, what you've been, you know, looking forward to doing, which is business.
Okay.
Because at the time, you know, infrastructure development is, you know, it's not driven as it is here in South Africa.
Okay.
So, you know, those challenges that you deal with daily, you know, if you have something better to do, then you end up now, you know, going for what you really want to do, which was now deciding to go into business. And look, also it was partly driven, or if not mostly driven, by the, you know, I've worked with Anglo Platinum, and I was involved in the strategic planning, the long term planning of the mines, and, you know, knowing the background of the mines and how to improve on efficiencies or what needs to be done to improve on efficiencies so that the mine can be sustainable. You know, I had those things in my mind, and those are the ideals that propelled me to say, you know, I'm going to start the contract mining company that will focus on, you know, best performance, best efficiencies, so that it can deliver a difference and make a difference in the mining industry. And that's what's been, you know, our goal, and we aim for that daily. And then it's been recognized by the likes of Shanduka. No, it shows us that we are in the right direction. And I mean, last year we also, one of our clients, you know, the CEO, awarded our company or our crews with the best performing team of the year.
Fantastic.
So it shows that, you know, we are in the right direction.
Well, you mentioned Shanduka, so let's talk about that for a moment and introduce that into the conversation. Yeah, so Shanduka Black Umbrellas, you are this year's Entrepreneur of the Year.
That's correct, yes.
And what does that feel like?
No, it feels good.
Of course it feels good.
It feels good. Yeah, it comes with the prizes. But I think the most important thing, what I really appreciate with all these accolades, is that you can put them in your marketing package. And can show, you know, when you market yourself and say, you know, 2015 we were, you know, the best performing company, 2016, 2017. Whoever you're marketing to or you're presenting to, you know, will also have interest in dealing with you. If there's an opportunity, you know, they would want to make sure, you know, make it available to you so that you can showcase what you've been doing the whole years, you know. So it is a good thing to be able to successfully achieve that award for the past 3 years.
And what I certainly appreciate about what you're saying is that you're not just reveling in your reveling in the moment. You're not just resting on your laurels, but rather you're using it. Certainly to your benefit.
That's correct, yes, yeah.
I'm wondering what was going on in your business before Shanduka came along. So you've been there a few years. Let's talk about the business pre and then post.
Because there's
going to be a difference. Shanduka's an incubator of sorts. They really, really do emphasize a lot on setting certain processes in place, mentoring, those kinds of things, I understand. They're friends of ours. We've had them on the show. Talk to us just then a little bit about pre post. So what was your business like pre and just talk, and I'm going to ask about some of the struggles there as well.
Look, I think one can say when we started, I was the main person who was also HR, who was, you know, I was responsible for a lot of things because there was not all these departments or support services in our company. So I was, you know, doing finance and doing HR, and so but as we kept on growing, then I was able to recruit, you know, a person who will help with administration, you know, recruit a person who will help with the finance part of things. Outside, so then it gave me an opportunity to also go outside the business. Now that's when I joined Shanduka. Well, through actually my partner's influence and encouragement to say, you know, there is an incubation,
opportunity company, then,
so let's join them and then see what benefit will come from them. And I joined them, and then we spent some time together. They put it clear that here we work with compliance, statutory compliance. You need to be compliant in your company. You also need to be having a foresight. You know, you need to have your business plan in place. And then we, you know, yes, we had those happening. Because,
did you?
Yeah, because remember, for us to win a tender, you know, you need to be, but it was not as, you know, as polished as when now we are involved with them and they now they're bringing the coaching in place and saying, okay, you know, let's look at the outlook of your business plan and, you know, and coming with advices there and there. Those advices that we gained from them were helpful for us to also to be able to be having a proper business plan in place that is achievable at the same time. Because, you know, if you're setting something that is not achievable, you might, you know, get discouraged.
So let me ask you a question. When they looked at your original plan, did they look at you and say, is this really achievable? Were you shooting for the stars and missing a little?
Yeah, look, when you are ambitious, you set, sometimes you can set goals that, you know, are over ambitious. Yeah, but yes, when you sit with somebody who's like a mentor, who's been there, who's got the right skills around them, and they, you know, you can put together a proper, you know, a developed business plan.
They can just see it from a different perspective.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And then they assist you to develop something that's really well-rounded.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
And in saying that, I don't want to diminish the fact that you had been working really hard prior to your inclusion in the incubation program.
Yeah.
But it really does seem to make a massive difference. I looked at some of the statistics that they do share, and the growth seems to work in multiples there, not in small percentages, but in multiples. Is that your experience?
Yeah, no, that's correct. You know, we've been able to grow at in excess of 30% per annum.
Right.
You know, by instances where you like, you know, this year where something big comes and the growth now, I'm sure next year when we will be reporting 100% growth. So yes, there has been, you know, in exponential growth in our company. Yeah.
And I mean, consistently 30% year on year.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
I know some people that would definitely want to, or be very jealous. Let's put it that way, of that kind of growth. So congratulations, well done.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Now, I think we've painted quite a nice rosy picture. Mm-hmm. Let's go back into your journey.
Yes, that's
and let's
correct,
talk about some of the low points that you've experienced.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that often we want to gloss over them, but let's not gloss over them. Okay. There are going to be people out there that are listening, and they may be at a particular phase in their business that you've been at and you've overcome, but they're stuck in.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of those moments, and then we'll talk about how you got out of them.
Yeah.
What's the first serious low point that comes to your mind?
Yeah, look, like I said, when I returned from Mali, you know, I had this dream and I had the, you know, the sort of the business, not say the business, but the profile and the background, you know, that I thought this is like a cutting edge. But to my surprise, I spent a year without anything.
So, oh, you mean a year as
marketing,
in
marketing the business, marketing the company, but nothing happening.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so that really humbled me. You know, you know, it also, you know, helped me to revise my approach, and then, you know, approach the client, you know, with a different you know, mindset and you know, different approach as well. Because when you come as a person who thinks he's got it all, you know, you might maybe, you know, deter some of the potential clients.
And I mean, I wouldn't be a mistake to necessarily do that with your background, mining engineer, lots of experience.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, probably 14, 15 years worth of experience.
Exactly. Yeah,
and you could say, well, I know because I've seen it. But yes, as you say, that may actually put people off. So are you saying that you put a few people off?
Yeah, and I know that a situation where I think I was a bit rough around the edge, and but like I said, then it was a learning process as well for myself. Then I, you know, out of that, I could see that I think my approach needs to be changed. You know, I need to now acknowledge that they are occupying space as well. They have got their own metal as well, and then market my company properly and from a better position, from, you know, what I can see from a grounded position. Then I think that's when things started changing, you know.
So I'm just picturing you walking into a boardroom, a little rough around the edges, as you say. Not to be mistaken for looking rough around the edges, but just being a little bit sharp perhaps in your approach, sharper, so it cuts instead of massages.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, look,
How did you then get to a point where, what were the couple of either principles or values that you had to embrace in order to take into consideration their perspective and, as you say, their metal as well?
Yeah. Yeah, look, sometimes you have a concept that you think, you know, this is a silver bullet and it's been tried and tested, and then you don't realize that, you know, you coming thinking that you've got the magic wand.
Mm.
Only to find that this thing has been tried and tested. So you need to now listen to them as well, so that you can at least take from what you get from them to, you know, modify your product or your package.
Mm.
So listening also came into and into understanding what is the real need of the client, you know, and how do I change my product to suit the need of the client.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate the idea of being malleable.
Yeah.
What do they say? They say be strict about your goals, but not so strict about how you get there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm hearing you say here, is that you need to be able to, and I've used the word massage, but massage your way in.
Yeah, yeah. You need to really work with your client or potential client, or you need to work with them because they are the one who got a need. And then you need to address it as how they feel best.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, they wouldn't be contacting you otherwise, I'm sure.
You scare them away.
Okay, so that was that was a particular weakness that you saw right in the beginning of your journey.
Yeah.
Talk to us about another low moment. So maybe I can ask it a little bit differently. What has been a point where you almost gave up?
Yeah, look, yeah, you're right there. Then the opportunity came and we started the works. And now we bring in people. Remember the first opportunity I had to recruit about 40 to 50 people.
Mm.
And you're bringing people from all walks of lives. You know, yes, experience, yes, but they are from different, you know, backgrounds. Bringing them together, you need to build a team out of them.
Yeah.
And that can take time. Yeah. And that also can reflect on your results.
Mm.
So you find that, you know, you are at that low point, you know, as they say, the polo stick, you are still at that low point where, you know, you bring the team together, you're jailing them, and but the results are not coming as yet. And at the time, you know, the client wants production, wants performance. Mm. That's when now the feedback is not so nice from the client, that you're not getting your targets, and then you also struggling with putting the team together to make sure the team wins.
So suddenly you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Exactly.
This pressure cooker.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of my lowest points, when the client was not happy with the performance, and then also, you know, not having to build this team together.
Mm.
And it doesn't happen in a week, in a month. It actually takes up to 12 months to build a solid team together.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, within that year, you know, there was that, I mean, I think it was a third month or fourth where there was a, you know, an unhappy client.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's when, you know, I was like wondering, am I where I want to be? Is this the right place?
Is this really what is this what, signed what up I really, for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. But then, of course, you know, I got encouragement, you know, from my partner as well, you know, the encouragement to say, no, let's stick on, let's stay on, let's keep, you know, bringing change, keep on encouraging and training, you know, motivating our people. Actually, even we had to now restructure, you know, bring some new people in and get rid of these others who are not, you know, buying into the vision.
Mm.
And then within 2-3 months from then, now we were starting to go to fly now. You know.
You've mentioned your partner a few times.
Yeah.
Just describe the relationship that exists there, because we've had a number of people that have come in here to studio and they often are very, I don't want to say reliant, because that almost sounds like they have a weakness of sorts, but there's a reliance on a partner who sometimes helps them to see the wood from the trees during the tough stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about your relationship with your partner, please.
Okay. Actually, my partner happens to be also my wife. So
interesting.
So the meetings never end. You know, we have meetings at work and then also at home.
Okay.
Yeah. So, very grounded person, stable at head, and I think, you know, I've got a good partner in her because, like I said, that low moment, you know, when I was asking myself, you know, is this what I want to do? And And it had encouragement from her and say, no, we are on the right path. We just keep doing it. Let's rather look at restructuring and then getting, you know, those people who will be able to deliver on what we want. Mm. So there has been the support from... when you are alone, actually, the difficulty about being a single, you know, run business, single man run business, mm. is that you're dealing with all these pressures from left, right, and center alone, mm. and sometimes you can end up now giving in or, you know, thinking of giving in.
And you've got no corrective course. On large ships, they call it a trim tab.
Yes,
you're the ship and you're the rudder, but you've got nothing to help you just stay on course.
Exactly.
And then suddenly you've got this other supporting factor in a partner. That's what I hear you
That's
say.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
But here's my question though: how in the world do you keep work at work and home life at home? I mean, you mentioned jokingly that meetings never end.
Yeah.
But work-life balance.
Yeah. No, we do take breaks and then go away. But you know, when you have something that is not fully addressed at work, you will end up addressing it 7, 8 p.m. at home.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. But there is times like, you know, we make sure that every December we take a break and go away. And then coincidentally, because in the mines, the December period, the mines close.
Yeah, there's a shutdown.
Yeah, there's a shutdown. So that allows us to really break with everybody. The employees go at home and then we go take a break and go, you know, go for a vacation. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we can take a break. Yeah.
I mean, without getting too personal, in very normal business circumstances where your partner isn't your wife, someone you're intimately involved with, in every aspect of your life, there's tension.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the mechanism that you and your partner and now wife have used to be able to reduce tension in your relationship, but certainly at work as well? So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't mean it to be a personal question. It's a very practical question.
Yeah. Look, I think, that's very correct. I do engage with my partner. I do not want to make any unilateral decisions and you know, things that will, you know, bring barriers between us. There are decisions that I make, for the good of the business, you know, but, you know, it's important to make sure that she's aware of that. And then she's also have, you know, a buy-in into it.
Mm.
And she also consult with me. You know, she's actually our COO. She's running the operations.
Mm.
But we talk daily. You know, when I'm out in the field and then she's behind, you know, running the show, but she makes sure that we talk of these mere decisions, we engage each other, and then we arrive at an agreement, and then we can execute. Yeah.
Well, what I hear you saying is that daily communication. There's no gaps.
Yeah. There's no gaps.
And that really is where problems do come in, is when there's a communication gap.
Yeah.
And I guess often in personal relationships, that gap doesn't necessarily mean information isn't passing by, but it often just is a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
But in your instance, you're saying avoid misunderstandings. How? By communicating frequently.
Frequently. That's
absolutely.
Correct. Yeah.
On an ongoing basis.
Close all the gaps. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So you're a small business. Mm. You are moving along nicely.
Yes.
But now you are a bit of a bigger business. It's a bit of a different story.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs seem to have a certain kind of blood within them where they want to just continue to innovate and grow. And but when it comes to a business, you just kind of have to change your approach a little bit. You have to relax a little bit.
Yeah,
Have you felt that change? Because you are growing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you're on point because this year we've just, you know, started a new project. But then I said to my team, starting with my partner, to say, I think we need to focus on this one and then not run to get some other projects coming in.
Mm.
Because otherwise we will now start having a lot in our hands that we cannot manage to manage or to control.
And it's so tempting, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's tempting, you know. I mean, you, especially when you know, when the market understands that or hear that you've got an opportunity there, you get those who are interested to call you and also say, can you come in, you know. So
yeah, it's almost a bit of a flywheel or snowball effect.
Exactly.
It just it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, but it can run away from you.
Yeah, so that's why I said, let's, you know, stabilize the operations. You know, we already established running for the past 4 months, but then we need to be make sure that we stabilize and then we are grounded. Let's end the year without any new project, so that we can now, when the new year comes, start something new again, if anything comes. Because if we take a lot in our hands this year, we might just end up now, you know, compromising ourselves. Because remember now, you know, I'm still required to go visit all these operations. So I can only do as much.
I mean, you've got a limit. There's a capacity issue.
Exactly.
Clearly. And that's a good problem to have. But only address it once it becomes an issue.
Yeah. Look, what we do is we have divisions.
Yeah.
And we have, like, you know, the general manager for a division. Yeah. Underground, we have a general manager for that division. And we have surface or open cast. We have, you know, there actually we still have a project manager, but we want to stabilize so that at a point now we can appoint a general manager who's someone who will be in charge of those operations.
Okay.
And then we have also manufacturing. That's called a manager for that division. But these for now are just good enough to focus on for this year. Then next year we can look at other opportunities.
It's such a mature approach, especially in a world where we seem to be money hungry or status hungry or something, where people just want to grab and take. Such what a mature approach.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the clock and we've run out of time. This is a really good point to perhaps break on. But we always ask all of our guests this one question before we let them leave.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the question.
Okay.
If you could go back in time and talk to the young future CEO, a 20-year-old future CEO, what advice would you give that future CEO?
Yeah, I think what I can say is if you are employed, learn as much as you can that you can be able to run that business or that company you're working for as a business of your own.
Interesting.
Yeah, but if you're learn willing, if you're willing to go on your own, Learn as much as that you can now run your company on your own without necessarily, you know, having to do the same mistakes your company did. You know, don't repeat the mistakes that were done in your company.
In the business that you're currently in.
Exactly.
Where you're supposed to be learning.
Yeah, learn the rules of the game so that you can master them. And when you are on your own, you can be able to succeed.
Very, very nice. Cut your teeth in a different environment and then don't fall on your face. I think that's what I'm hearing you say.
That's correct, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Sam, thank you so very much. You're the founder and CEO.
MD.
MD of Modi Mining.
That's correct, yes.
Thank you for being us. You're also the Shanduka Black Umbrellas Entrepreneur of the Year. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot,
Gareth. And that's 3 years in a row.
Yes.
So we're expecting a lot from you. And next time we have you in studio, we look forward to hearing about all your growth.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks a lot for inviting me. And then also thanks to your listeners. And also, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah.
All right, up next, we are going to be talking to another entrepreneur, another interesting entrepreneur who actually started right at the very bottom of his business and then bought out the business from the owners. That's going to be coming up next. We'll see you right after this break.
This is CliffCentral.com.